Hannah Stanley here. It is WGN. I'm filling in for Frank Fontana. It is WGN. That is a song I could listen to all the time, although I know many of you have heard enough of it. You know what is great? I'm thrilled that I get to be here filling in for Frank Fontana until 3 o'clock. What is great beyond that is the fact that at 3 o'clock, the guys from The Beat come on, and they're going to talk Bears, Cubs, Sox, and they're going to talk about the 1 hour 2015-2016 Blackhawks celebration, which is detailing the accomplishments of the team. I'm a huge, huge Blackhawks fan, huge hockey fan. And here's what's interesting about that. If you grew up here, very few people. Not everybody. Sean, you grew up here, right?
Yes, I did.
Did you? You didn't grow up watching hockey. We couldn't. We didn't have the ability to.
Yeah.
It was blacked out.
You're right.
Were you a hockey guy? Did you know the sport?
I actually was.
Were you?
I actually was during the Larmer, Savard era. That was kind of like end of high school and college.
Yeah.
I was into the Blackhawks, yeah.
All right. So tell me how that happened when you couldn't watch it on TV. You could watch it when they were out of town.
They would come on cable and then road games were shown. But what got me into it, of course, being in sports broadcasting was Pat Foley. He made it for me. I watched the game specifically for Pat Foley initially, and then I fell in love with the players and the team.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
I will tell you honestly, I went to a Hawks game 15 years ago, and that was really my first introduction to hockey, aside from kids who play, like guys who played in high school and stuff. And you know, you get a crush on one of them and you go watch them play. And then you're like, I don't really get the sport. I don't know much about it. And I'm a sports chick. Yeah. Like, I know I've worked in sports. I know I'm really, really knowledgeable. And when they lifted the blackout, we were able to watch it. And then to have the blessing of the players that we have and the chemistry on the team that we have. And Pat Foley, and Eddie O, and our guys on the radio.
You can't
here.
Forget John Weideman.
I was going to say, yeah, John and Troy. And so to have the ability to watch it and listen to it.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, we've got Kaner. And I'm just going to say it, first round Hall of Famer. Done. We've got Taser.
Yeah.
First round Hall of Famer. I mean, honestly, come on. How can you not like this sport? I did the math. When they lost the other night.
What did you come up with?
I did the math that approximately 63 hours of my life would be given back to me now that I didn't have to watch the remaining hours of the playoffs and the Stanley Cup.
Yes. Well into June.
And then I still watched the Stars game the other night. Because Sharpie
I've yet
and Oduya.
To watch another playoff game.
Sharpie then. And Oduya are playing. Yeah. So I'm still rooting for my Hawks, even though they have different jerseys on. But 63 hours. If you average... And I was assuming seven game series for each, because all the teams are really good this year. So I was assuming seven games, and that was assuming 3 hours per game, 63 hours of my
life.
Does
it feel weird right now?
So weird.
Having no...
Nothing.
No Blackhawks.
No, we kind of looked at each other the other night at the dinner table, and we're like, do we talk to each other? Is that a thing? Huh. But it is such a familial thing. We do it, our entire family, the kids watch hockey, they get dressed. You commented on Preston's boots the other day she was in here, but she was wearing
the jersey.
She was wearing a sweater.
Yeah.
She had on a little Taser sweater, even though our favorite player is Duncan Keith. So.
She told us that story.
She knows it, man.
She sat down and explained to myself and Jared why he was her favorite player, and we were sitting there like, wow.
You know what's funny is, and by the way, I have an amazing guest in studio that I promise I'm going to get to in 10 seconds from Lurie Garden, which is just a beautiful, magical place in the city. What's funny is I had no influence on her liking Duncan Keith. That was completely all her. I have no idea. I think she likes him because there's a Thomas the Tank Engine named Duncan. I'm not sure. She walks out and she's talking to you guys. I walk out of an interview and she's sitting in the green room. Because if I have like one interview, sometimes she comes with me. So I walk out and she's holding court with you and Jarrett Payton. And I'm like, that's funny. And she goes, Mama, those were really nice people. And I go, yeah, Yes. And if you only knew who the one's father was, you have no idea how bizarre your little life is sometimes. So joining me in studio, I have Scott Stewart. Scott Stewart from Lurie Garden. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you so much for having me today.
Tell me, I have been to Lurie Garden. I think it is absolutely gorgeous. Occasionally, I stumble upon it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do stuff, station events, and we're like, oh, we'll walk back to the station. It's only 3.5 miles. And then here I am at Lurie Garden, and you have to take a moment and say, wow, we are so lucky. So tell me the history and kind of the reasoning, how this all happened, this gorgeousness in the city.
Absolutely. Your experience with the Lurie Garden is not that uncommon. A really surprising number of Chicago locals, they stumble into the Lurie Garden and almost stumble in daily. And they're always taken aback. It's one of my most favorite moments is early in the morning, people walking to and from work and such, just to be in the garden, to see them take that moment of stopping, looking up from their phone, looking up from their coffee, whatever they may have, and realizing where they are. And they are in a small slice of nature in the middle of Chicago. You can be looking down all of a sudden at a beautiful flowering plant, this time of year, tulips and such, you know, wonderful spring flowering plants. And then you look up and you realize where you are.
Yeah, you're under this canopy of trees. It's providing beautiful shade. And you're like, oh, wait, what, huh? Where? How did this happen? And it's not, tell us where it is.
So we are in Millennium Park. We are at the south end of Millennium Park, right across the street from the Modern Wing of the Art Institute.
It is easy to get to.
Very easy to get to.
So easy to get to, you don't even realize you're there half the time. And you can incorporate a visit to the gardens while you are doing other things. Like you said, the Art Institute, Millennium
exactly.
Park,
exactly. So much is going on in Millennium Park.
Maggie Daly isn't far.
Exactly. As our seasons are all kicking off with everything in Millennium Park, all of the concert series at the Pretzker Pavilion and such, all of that's kicking off. Maggie Daly Park is gearing up. It's so easy to just come over, and one of my favorite things is always to recommend people take the family over to Maggie Daly Park, run everybody ragged for a while over there, and come over for a nice little rest in Lurie Garden.
Now, tell me how long Lurie Garden has been undiscovered by people in the city of Chicago, because it's surprisingly lengthy time.
So we are actually about a dozen years old at this point. We are, believe it or not, we are a dozen years old at this point, and we are sort of through our growth phase as a garden. So we are a well-established public garden. We've been here 10, 12 years at this point, and we're ready for our next stage of evolution. We're ready to take the training wheels off and to become the sort of an outstanding public garden leader here in Chicago.
How does this change seasonally? Because this is something I struggle with, you know, my own landscaping, and I will say more my attempts at landscaping, because this is something where all of a sudden the daisies die and you go, well, that looked nice. Or the tulips, because of the rains we've had, the tulips are
mm-hmm.
now gone.
Mm-hmm.
How are you guys able to keep up on these displays?
That's one of the most wonderful things about the Lurie Garden. So we are a four-season garden. We were designed, our original intent was a true four-season garden.
Which is so important.
Which
here.
Is so important because we have, well, the Chicago winter. And let's face it,
yes.
Not a lot wants to grow during our wonderful
no.
winter months.
Nor during construction.
Exactly. But you can come to the Lurie Garden. You can see for yourself, 12 months out of the year, there's always going to be something of interest. You know, in the middle of winter, obviously, we aren't going to have anything in bloom.
Right.
But we leave our garden up year-round. And there's a very interesting, and there's a really inherent beauty in seeing this wonderful little slice of nature in the middle of bustling downtown Chicago, little covering of snow on top of it, a little chilly out. And it really does transport you to a place where you, even though it's the middle of winter, you think about being in nature and you think about how you connect with nature and you can see birds feeding off of the seed heads and so forth all winter long. And then spring comes and all of our wonderful spring flowering bulbs and such start. And then, you know, we are just now getting warm enough to where things like salvia, our wonderful Salvia River, for example, our salvias are just starting starting to show a little bit of their want to flower. So mm-hmm. in a few weeks, that will be ready to go as well. Those plants. So those that continuous across time experience. And what's great is that we offer almost 100 free public education programs a year, and you can come to those programs and learn how to replicate a little piece of Lurie garden so that you don't end up with, oh, this wonderful spring display of tulips in your own garden, and then they go dormant and you're kind of left with, well, now I don't really have anything in my garden.
Right.
You can learn how to fix that.
Yeah, one of my most favorite flower, and it's a flowering tree, is a magnolia.
Oh,
I just
beautiful.
Think it's exquisite.
Beautiful
and we're
tree.
So lucky that it does well here until... Because it is fleeting,
mm-hmm. it
much
is.
Like our summers and springs, and everything is fleeting around here, except the winter. But when I see those magnolias start to blossom, or when I see the hyacinths start to peek mm-hmm. through the snow, man, I wanna cue the Barry Manilow. Looks like we made it. We're done. We are done with winter. It is coming through. Yay us. And it is magical. So for having these free programs, when you're able to say, okay, so the magnolia is going to give way to one good wind, that's gone.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And I'm going to have to mulch it next time I mow. What? So to learn how to keep that garden going week after week and still have those lovely displays and feel like there's beauty in every single week of the year. This is going to be at Lurie Garden. We are going to take a quick break, come back with Scott Stewart of Lurie Garden and learn more about these programs that are offered. That is going to be more on the Frank Fontana Show on WGN. I'm Hannah Stanley. More after this. I don't know why this makes me think of 1970s, but I feel like I'm in a lounge. And I wouldn't have been in a lounge in the 70s. I was a little young. But seriously, that has like a 1970s vibe. What is that?
That is the Full Moon Soul Child remix of Brandy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not
slowed
from
it
the
down
70s.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Add a little 70s.
I love it. That was fantastic. That was just like, yeah, we're going to chill. You know what we're going to do with that kind of music? We're going to talk to Scott Stewart from Lurie Garden here in the city of Chicago, near, not included with, but near Millennium Park. So if you're going to wander around the Art Institute or Millennium Park or Maggie Daly, or I could keep going, there's so many things. But here's the thing. Go to Lurie Garden. A decade or more here in the city, right in the heart of the city.
Right in the heart of the city. The easiest way to find us is if you are at a event, one of the free concert events, symphony, whatever it may be, at the Pretzker Pavilion, mm-hmm. we're behind that giant hedge.
Oh, well, that, right there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's over by there.
Usually I say that and people are like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah, we're behind that giant hedge.
You go to the, you see the hedge and you go over by there and you're right there.
Exactly.
I got to see a guy. This is it's so Chicago, this conversation. Lurie Garden, you've mentioned it's been more than a decade. It is a four-season garden, which mm-hmm. is rare.
Exceedingly rare.
Seeding. Mm-hmm. I heard what you did there. Seeds. Seed people. But it is it's so interesting to me because we are a four-season city. I have walked in the coldest of cold from the train to the office. We have people who every single day, despite the weather, go out and take their weekly, you know, their daily walk. Mm-hmm. They have to get their exercise. They need the fresh air. They need the limited sunshine that we're able to get. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a tiny fraction of vitamin D. And this is an excellent place
and
to go.
That's one of the reasons that the Lurie Garden was designed and always envisioned, and we maintain that vision as that four-season garden. Chicago is a hardy four-season city.
Yeah.
And Lurie Garden is a hardy four-season garden. We're designed to be a Chicago garden. We aren't anything else other than a true Chicago garden.
And you guys are dealing with the lake. So you've got lake effect, wind, you have snow, you have the lake breezes, which is technically a sea breeze if you mm-hmm. want to get all meteorological. So there are things that people in the city and even the suburbs are dealing with that they're not dealing with in other parts of the country. So this is why the expertise that you guys are providing. Mm-hmm. What's coming up for you guys? How are you reinventing and moving forward into the next decade?
Well, and we're in the phase right now where we are 10, 12 years old at this point. the garden is well established. We no longer have to worry about the days are gone where we have to worry about every single plant, nursing it along, watering it, maintaining it. Our plants are really well established. The garden is very well established. We're moving into becoming more of a force to really a force to develop the conversations around these big picture, big idea topics, things like climate change. Mm-hmm. Because since we are a four-season garden, we are a wonderful place for everyone in Chicago to come and see and learn about and discuss the impacts of things like climate change, these very big picture of things that we're faced with today, future generations are going to be faced with. Luria Garden is a perfect environment to discuss those environmental issues.
Right, pollution, et cetera,
exactly.
Here in the city. And it varies by neighborhoods even.
It does.
More
it
on the
does.
South Side, we have a lot of asthma problems because of the factories. Mm-hmm. And these are things that all can affect growth and
absolutely,
lifespan.
Absolutely. And it's a wonderful place. Since the Luria Garden is a slice of nature, we can talk about how climate change impacts how plants grow and develop. So you may then know, you may be able to go home, maybe you live in the western suburbs or somewhere on the South Side, and you know your plants are going to act differently every year. Mm-hmm. And we always field phone calls at the Luria Garden this time of year. My such and such plant isn't flowering, and it was last year. What could be going on? Well, you can actually come to the Luria Garden, and through our program, through our education activities, through engaging in these conversations with us at the Luria Garden, you can actually begin to learn how climate, how weather, how those things impact how plants grow and develop. And then that leads to those wonderful broader conversations about how can we make sure that things like the Luria Garden exist for future generations.
All right. I went to school in Texas. I went to college down there. And one of my favorite things in the world are bluebonnets, which are mm-hmm. prevalent there. It's mm-hmm. the Texas bluebonnet. When I tried to grow them here, it took me forever. And I had to research and realize that they had to go through extremes. So they either had to go through a fire, mm-hmm. which I'm going to ask you about, or be frozen. So mm-hmm. I literally froze the seeds, and then I was able to get them to grow. We around here in the plains, the Midwest, do a lot of controlled burns.
Yes.
Tell us the importance of that.
Yes. So a really good lesson on this is to look at the Luria Garden, and on the, you'll notice the way that the garden is designed, there's this boardwalk that runs up the middle of the garden. And on the west side of the garden is this sort of treeless, full open sun area. And a lot of people think that's a prairie. And it's not a prairie. It's a reflection of a prairie. So it's an environmental or an ecological reflection of a prairie. Now, if that was a real prairie, what I would do is I would burn that. I would do a prescribed fire in that. And one of the roles of prescribed fire in a natural system, so you go to, you know, somewhere a little further west or southwest of the city, and you see some of these large natural areas. They're all prairie or very, very similar looking to prairie. They do a lot of controlled fire, a lot of prescribed fire in those areas. And the role of that is to actually to keep things like woody plants, other trees, shrubs, invasive plants under control and out of those ecosystems, out of those habitats,
okay.
and allow them to be grass dominated. It helps with nutrient cycling and so forth as well.
Really, really fascinating stuff. I've in the past probably 4 to 6 weeks, as you drive around, you mm-hmm. see the huge plumes.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids are like, something is on fire. And I'm like, well, it's west of Aurora, so I'm guessing it's just a controlled burn. Don't freak mm-hmm. out. So this is incredible. We're so fortunate to have this in the city and to have you guys be the librarians of gardening here, where they can come to you, have these classes that are for free. Any admission to the garden?
No, the admission to the garden is 100% free.
See?
All of our programming, 100% free. You go to luriagarden.org and you can look at all of our upcoming programs. You can look at our wonderful blog posts, lots of great technical information that we translate into a non-technical language.
Into human speak, yes.
Exactly.
Because especially for those who are learning, some people have a tremendous interest and then they're all of a sudden having to figure out what zone they live in.
Exactly.
And that's a little overwhelming. Luria Gardens.
Luria Garden.
Garden.
Singular.
.org. Thank you, Scott Stewart, for coming in. I so appreciate your time today and really just you guys existing. It's just such a gift that we have here in the city.
Well, thank you. We all love what we do at Luria Garden. And please, everyone, come out and see us.